Okay, let's talk about this. We're gonna have a hard conversation, okay? Why is it that since Columbine, we have continued to have this false narrative that SROs, which absolutely have a place in our schools, are the solution? There were two of them on campus today. Yes, the shooter surrendered to them only after he had already inflicted as much carnage as he possibly could with 13, well, four deceased and nine wounded.
Yeah.
Only after did those SROs respond in enough time to be able to get him to surrender. SROs, unless they are right there in the front of it when it pops off, are responsive in nature. They're reactive in nature. I don't know how many times I have to say this. Mm. Are they great for building relationships? Yes. Are they great to be on your campus, to be able to respond? Yes, they are.
Are they a good deterrent?
They're a great deterrent. Sure. But in some cases, like today, they are not. That kid knew there were officers on that campus.
And more than likely, he knew where they were at.
Did it prevent him from carrying out his attack? The answer is no.
Yep.
Stop. We have to stop. The state of Texas just passed House Bill 3 that says that we're going to put an officer on every campus. That's a lie.
Where is the funding for that?
There is no funding. Oh. It's not funded.
And if I can't fund it, what do I have to do?
I write an exemption letter, an exception letter, and then I'm off the hook.
Okay, so then what did it accomplish?
It accomplished the governor's ability to go in his next election cycle and tell the unassuming, uneducated voter that he passed a bill to put an SRO on every campus, but he's not telling you that it's not funded. So what did we do, Mike?
So the schools don't have the money.
Yes.
And it's a requirement.
It's a requirement.
But just fill out a form and now it's no longer a requirement.
That's right. So I'm so sick and tired of this narrative, man. I don't know how many times that I have to sit down with people and say, tell me in Santa Fe, or let's go way back.
Well, let's just pick on them. This is too easy to do this. Did the panic buttons solve anything here
today?
I'm
being told there was a panic button.
Okay, so,
and it's a well-known panic button.
Okay, well, did that do
it? Didn't do anything.
Okay, so did the gun, if they had gunshot detection, would that have done anything?
It did not, and it would not have.
Okay, but it would have told them that the same thing that everybody in the building would have known.
We all have gunshot detection. It's our ears.
It's built in, right?
Yes.
But there's school after school after school that's investing money in a significant amount of money putting these sensors in schools to detect gunshots.
Yeah.
Some of these things that we're talking about, it's mind-boggling. Like, well, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Here's the deal. If you want to piss off your money, I'll be glad to take your money and my team will be glad to come and give you an honest assessment. We will build a strategic plan based upon the foundation, the framework, and the finishes. We will build out a phased approach. And I promise you that in that foundational component, it won't be a whole lot of products that you don't need that you're being sold. This is just pissing away taxpayer dollars on useless, ineffective products, which is what we saw today. You're 100% right. There's no way that panic button resolved anything.
Well, so here's an even more frustrating thing. So they invested in panic buttons, we know for sure, at this point. We had an immediate surrender. And we had, 13 people?
Four deceased, nine wounded.
Okay. So we couldn't change the event, but what we could change is the response. We know that there were two SROs immediately surrendered, so it means they got them in, they put them in custody.
Yeah, I'll give them credit for that.
Okay, awesome. I'm not checked that box. Good. What happened? They were in a hard lockdown. So after the suspect is in custody, what happened at the school to start rendering aid? When did they start getting resources out of lockdown, get trauma kits into that classroom with the real first responders who are the people at that school, and immediately start rendering aid?
You know what?
How many of those lives possibly could have been prevented?
We don't know yet. But what I'll tell you, and this is my philosophy, is that every if you want to build a safer community, you start with your teachers. These are the people that see your kids every day. They interact with your parents every day. They know who's in danger. They know who's having a crisis, whether it be a breakup or some other type of, you know, divorce or something in their life. You want to build a better community starts with your teachers. Teach them how to identify, you know, pre-attack behavior. They already know it. A teacher has a hell of an intuition. I'm married to one.
Well,
right.
And so already one of the accounts, like eyewitness account, talking about student interviews that have happened. What was the traits of the individual, right? The very first thing, he's shy.
Shy.
Okay. Was he shy or was he withdrawn? Mm-hmm. Because there's a difference.
Absolutely.
Right. And so it's those types of things of noticing the characteristics of what's going on with this kiddo. And somebody who spends hours and hours and hours with that individual each week is going to know it better than anybody else.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm curious. He's 14, he's in high school, so that means he's probably a freshman.
Yeah.
I would be curious to know what his seventh and eighth grade teachers say about him.
Mm-hmm. And maybe he just had a hard time adjusting to high school. Freshman year is tough. In general, it is tough, right? I mean, you're going
public school in general stuff these days.
I know.
You know, it's rough, man.
That transition from middle school to high school in general is tough. And, you know, maybe the kid was picked on. We don't know. And maybe the shyness, I mean, we're only a handful of weeks into the school year. Maybe it was rougher on him, right? And there may be the little bit thing that we look at, how do we handle that integration into high school? How do we make sure those kids are getting what they need?
Dude, could you imagine a society, how much better our society would be if we just started with our teachers, if we just taught them the basics? Like, let's teach them how to apply a tourniquet. Let's teach them how to apply a chest seal, first aid, CPR, AED application, behavioral threat assessment and management, and then give them a resource in order to report that. If we started with every teacher having, teacher having that same standard.
How many times have we been into a school and they don't have any supplies? We were in a school of 5,000 high school students. Or 6 tourniquets.
Yeah.
They had no material to pack a wound. They had no chest seals.
I guarantee you today, they didn't have 13 tourniquets in that school. I guarantee you they didn't have 13 tourniquets in that school.
But why? And how long did it take? You know, we were at a football game scrimmage a couple of weeks ago, and a player had a compound fracture, right? Bone protruding through the skin type of injury, right?
Mm-hmm.
It happens. But my mind, you know how our minds work, right? And so I'm immediately, you know, can we help? They have trainers, they have everybody there that's in there. But just the way my mind works, right? I instantly started a timer, right? Just out of like, I'm watching this happen. I want to discuss this. I want to figure out what's the response look like. And what I watched unfold, was not necessarily the best execution. It took a considerable amount of time for an ambulance to respond, right? The school did a great job, you know, escorting the ambulance there, but then they took them through a muddy field, right? And the ambulance very well could have gotten stuck,
right? Yeah.
There was no way to actually get onto the track or the football field. You know, all of these things, you just come back. I was luckily enough able to meet with the school afterwards that we were at the time. I met like a week or two later and kind of just said, hey, here's all the things that I witnessed. Here's all the things that can be improved. You know, here's some recommendations in there. But it took a tremendous amount of time for that first responder, or what we're calling first responder, really a second responder, to show up, right? And by the time they got to that field, if that was a gunshot wound, that kid wouldn't have made it, right?
Yeah.
And this was just a compound fracture, right? And so we can't, I'm in the business of selling security systems, right? And this is one of those things, I can't prevent it, right? I can slow things down.
Mm-hmm.
I can let you know. I can give you a fighting response, a time to be able to fight back, hide, get cover. I can notify. I can get the cavalry coming. I can do all of those things. I can provide you high quality video of the person that's doing it. Hell, I can even detect a specific person or a weapon in a specific person's hand. I can do all of that. It doesn't prevent the pulling of the trigger. No matter what you layers cannot, of technology, you cannot prevent that.
The intentions of the heart cannot be measured. It has to be observed and seen, and there's always patterns. And that's what I keep trying to tell people.
But we can change the response.
Yes, we can. We
absolutely, not knowing the facts, complete speculation.
Yeah.
But it, just like this event, just like the others, more than likely lives could be saved. We've heard about the Apple Watch data of other victims mm-hmm. that they thought that they were deceased and they weren't. And if medical aid was rendered, that person very well may have been here still. It's these types of things that you learn afterwards, but they were just assumed. And there just wasn't, medical attention was not there, and there was nobody on site that had the resources or the material to render aid. We can change that. And I talk about this all the time. These students, we're missing an opportunity. Mm-hmm. There is no reason why high school students can't learn basic first aid.
Yeah.
How to handle a wound. I mean, just last night, there was a major wreck by on our way home, and my kids in the car knew what to do, and we had the supplies to render aid. Luckily, we ultimately didn't have to render aid, but they were there, they were prepared, they knew what to do. I know these kids can do this. I know they can. And sometimes in a tragic situation like this, it's the kids who rise to the occasion when the adults crumble, right? And you cannot put that power out there. It's something that we are missing. And we could be training the next doctor or the next paramedic or the next Army Ranger or the next whoever, because they find whatever this skill is there. It may not even be something that they ever use. It could be on a camping accident or a car wreck. It doesn't have to be active shooter related. It doesn't have to.
You know, I think that, you know, the I agree with you 100%, man. I mean, the key to a safer society is better preparedness for everybody. And, you know, some people may think that it's a little crazy idea, but hell, you know, in 2018, when I was doing the things that I was doing that nobody was doing, they all thought I was crazy in 2018. And now some of the things that I was doing in 2018 are standard practice. It's like, so was I really that crazy, or was I just ahead of my game? And I think that's the case, is I was just ahead of it. And so, you know, at the end of the day, we are not living in a society that we lived in 20, 30 years ago. The violence does not have boundaries. It has entered our churches, our synagogues. It has entered our schools. It has entered our grocery stores, our parks. And so what I'm getting at is, I agree with you. If imagine a country we live in where every student understood and could apply basic first aid, CPR, AED, tourniquet application, maybe a chest seal, maybe, and every teacher. Because now what we've done is we've created a force multiplier, so that when you're in those other areas outside of your school, in your grocery store in Buffalo, New York, where a crazed gunman walks in and starts murdering, you know, innocent African-American people based upon his racist ideology, now you have teachers,
first
you have
responders.
True first responders,
people who are on the scene.
People that are on the scene are going to be the ones that are going to help you in that time period. You know, most people, if you got a blunt shot, I mean, a gunshot wound, and it's hit a major artery, you're done in 90 seconds. I don't know too many law enforcement officers who are going to respond within 90 seconds. But here's the thing: their primary function is not to render aid to you.
Step right
their
over.
Their function is to stop the killing and neutralize the threat. The secondary responders are minutes behind them. So we have to get to a point in this society where we are empowering those people. It starts with our students. It starts with our teachers. Force multiplier. We have to look at this on a grander scale.
You want to talk about setting a standard? Imagine basic trauma training as part of a high school curriculum. Mandatory. Talk about changing culture.
There's no politics in that, Mike. There's no politics in that.
It's about creating a better society.
No. It's not political theater, Mike. Nobody benefits politically from that. This is what I'm tired of, you know, is these governors and these legislators, you know, passing these bullshit laws that help them, you know, push a political narrative when election time comes around. You know, there is no politics in it. It's a soundbite, man. And it's not their kids that are dying.
Yep.
It's the people who can't afford the private schools. It's the public school kids, you know, and I hate to say that because, God, I wish I could have sent my kids to a private school. You know, they don't have all the BS federal mandates and restrictions, whatnot. You know, your kids go to a private school. I love that.
This is one of those things that we talk about when we're consulting with private schools. And you're talking about the injustice it is. I mean, there's no doubt. It's a privilege to be able to do that 100%. But sometimes we have to remind these private schools that they have a choice. And what we often find is making that tough decision to expel a student based on violation of code of conduct at student handbooks. You know, the difference between private and public is almost every single private school has a code of conduct, a handbook, a contract that both the student and both parents have to sign, right? Mandatory. And so there's nobody who can say, well, I didn't know. No, you all signed it. So the next thing is the challenge between being Christians and trying to help a troubled youth, right? Mm-hmm. Versus a clear-cut violation of the code of conduct and handbook and a violation of the rules, right? There's this overwhelming desire to hold on, to grab on and love that kid. And at the same time, they have to keep their culture and climate within their school healthy. And if they have brought in a problem, the luxury that a private school has that a public school doesn't is that they can send that problem on down the road.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. The problem with, you know, having been a former executive director and a former school board member is the public school just doesn't have that luxury. And I'm not saying that that should be a practice. You know, we should always try to rehabilitate. We should always try to provide resources.
Absolutely.
That's what we should be doing. But there are some students that just simply should not be in a public school or in even a private school setting.
And they may need help and they may need resources and we need to get them that help and resources.
Man.
And schools need to do that. But then, you know, we add to that federal laws that prevent schools from getting that troubled youth out of their school into somewhere where they need help, right? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, there's usually no funding for that either. You know,
and
it all boils down to
the
money.
Think about the things that we've talked about just today with the shortage of mental health professionals and how bad it is. We're in one of the largest states in the United States. And where are we ranking?
50 out of 50, buddy.
Last year, where did we rank?
50 out of 50. We haven't gotten better, but we passed a law that puts an SRO in every campus.
Yeah, but there's not one.
Yeah, but we passed a law, though. You know, so we did something.
Oh, sure.
Right? What did we do? We did nothing.
You're running for office, right?
I am running for office at some point. Yeah, I am. You guys heard it here first. There will be a point where will there be an announcement, but you know, it's you know, I'm tired of having the same conversation over and over and over again. I'm tired of going to conference after conference where you have, you know, John Jones from such and such county, you know, sheriff's department, who's teaching a class on active shooter response to educators who can't even comprehend it. Right? Don't even know what the hell he's talking about.
So I'm going to call it right now.
What?
Already. These two SROs who, you know, arrested this suspect will be on, within 6 months, will be on a circuit talking about all the things that they did. and what they experienced. And
eventually.